Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I am Madeline.
And you need to come to the Snares Tour in Australia expeditiously. Evolutionofasnake.com. We sold out Melbourne, so we added another show. Sydney, meet and greets gone. General tickets running low. Brisbane, surprises in store for you. You better go to evolutionofasnake.com. Come see the Snares Tour. It's the conclusion. You want to be there.
You absolutely want to be there. This is the end of an era. Taylor said it was on the documentary, but really, it's on the Snares Tour. So
the Eras Tour doesn't end until the Snares Tour also ends. Do you see how that
exactly.
works?
Exactly. And she knows that. And she knows that.
So she's like, I'm going to let this snare cook, and it's cooking. So it's going to be over soon. And if you want to see more of our unedited reactions to all of the documentary stuff, there is now hours of content on the Patreon about this. Patreon.com/Swiftologist from me and Madeline. You also want to be there.
You have to be there. You don't have a choice. I've already signed you up.
Sorry, Kyle, you lose.
Sorry, Kyle.
Well, I will be recapping with Madeline today the final episode, Remember This Moment. And let me tell you, I have been remembering it and I will stay remembering it.
I can't stop. I can't forget.
We can't stop. We hand heart, we cheer, we clap. So we begin with a montage of news people speaking about the record-shattering Eras Tour ending this weekend in Vancouver with The Manuscript playing in the background. The most perfect song to be used at the most perfect moments throughout this episode. The Manuscript is such an underrated song.
I'm saying it. It honestly, like, it's not a song that I listen to. I will say that. But the implications of it are so strong. I think it's like, it's on par with Clara Bow to me in like importance in the Taylor Swift lore in terms of like her career and like the place that she was in when Tortured Poets came out. And maybe just like for all time. The Manuscript is about, it can be reused and reused as we've seen today. Now and then I reread The Manuscript, but the story isn't mine anymore.
Torture Poets, I'm starting to think, really was the end of a much bigger, longer era. And we're entering into a new phase of her career now. And The Manuscript really is that closing the book moment for the entire thing. So that is an appropriate thing to use here.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. It's an interesting
thought.
Thank
you for saying that.
We see Vancouver decked the hell out in Swiftiedom. Just random signs. Karma, anti-hero.
Yes, sure. I get it. I understand it 100%.
Why not? I know what you mean. So Taylor gets into a car under her privacy umbrella, and her hair is looking gorgeous, by the way. Looking just amazing. Looking healthy and shiny and ready to be tamed into submission. She says, three left. That's it. Three left. I don't know how I'm going to feel, but I also don't know how other people are going to feel. They're going to need me to respond in a way that supports however they feel at any given moment. So I'm just bracing myself. And someone asks, how do you feel? And she says, I feel so proud, but emphasis, so ready, like so ready for this. It's the perfect ending. She's saying, I've had enough of you, you beast. My feet hurt. My voice is gone. I need a life.
She needs a life expeditiously. I thought it was really interesting that she felt that it was her responsibility to respond to the Eras Tour ending in the appropriate way that makes other people feel like this is right. I was like, I can't even imagine, like, you're closing the chapter on one of the biggest things you've ever done in your career, and one of the first thoughts that you're having is, how should I be responding in a way that makes people happy, essentially? It's like,
because she's leading it all, so she has to set the tone. So really, she can't fall apart about it, because then that's going to have a bad trickle-down effect. But she also can't be so, yay, I want it to be over, even though I think that's, in this moment, truly how she feels. She's like, I just want this to be done. Like, if I could skip the last show, I would, so I don't have to, like, manage everyone's emotions.
Right.
On top of all the physical exertion she's doing, she's managing everyone's emotions. So that's a hard thing to do. Then she launches into another talking head over some B-roll of the giant friendship bracelets getting blown up, which I love to see. She says, this show created a bonding experience for 70,000 people all at once, and I don't know how it happened. Well, I know. I was there.
I was there. And you know what? I felt it ripple through me every single night. And I don't question it. I don't question the power. I just accepted it when it entered me. That's all there is to it.
It was a moment. It's within you. It moves around you. It takes over you. It's just its own thing. And she says, there are times when you make something so cool and you're so proud of it, but you're flying into the wind with it. You're always up against some friction. Then there's these times, very rare instances, where you make something and the wind is at your back. Somehow, culture, timing, and whatever mood is there out in the world about you that you can't control all lines up for this to go well. Cut to paper rings. Some of the song choices are crazy. This one I was like, okay.
I understood it. What was interesting is like how often they were choosing lesser appreciated songs, like songs that don't normally get like a spotlight. Paper Rings is a randomista choice. Completely
a very
random.
Randomista. Very they were choosing randomista
like
moment.
Deep cuts. I want to meet the person in charge of the needle drops. I want to shake that person's
hand. Her name's Taylor Swift. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So I thought that was so interesting because it's so true. Like this all could have gone totally different. Like the Eras tour was such a big swing. Like what if everybody went to the show and they were like, this is so boring. It's way too much. I went back and read the original New York Times review of opening night. And they were definitely impressed by it, but it's interesting to see the moments that they flagged as like the worst moments of the show. And generally like the consensus from the critics was like Folklore, Evermore, who cares? Marjorie was specifically pointed out as a dull moment. And I was like, you see how when things evolve, it's so interesting how that became like a focal point of the show. So much so it got its own episode. And yet when this first happened, it's not like, you know, every swing that you take is going to hit the target correctly. It must have been really nerve-wracking to do this because it was so different. Like no one had done anything like this before.
I always think about the edits that people made that compared Taylor's performance on the first night of the North American leg of the tour and the last night. And you can really see, not that there was anything strange about her performance on the first night, but when you compare the body language and comfort, she was fucking nervous as hell that first night. And I don't blame her. It was so
especially
much
especially during Cruel Summer.
Yeah.
She seemed just, like... You know,
This is happening.
It was huge.
Yeah, it was
and
huge.
It's just her on the stage too. Cruel Summer is just her. It's about the strut, and she looked gorgeous, robot Barbie, of course. But she definitely was more embodied towards the end. Yeah. So then we go to her reading a letter in her dressing room from Travis, and it says, "So many amazing memories on this tour, but my favorite was seeing you in concert for the first time, being mesmerized and swept off my feet by a woman who doesn't even know me. I selfishly say thank you for creating this legendary tour, and to Robert." For making me stop through Kansas City. That night in KC was the beginning of meeting the love of my life. So Bing Crosby did it.
So Bing Crosby brought Tavis together. You know what? Maybe he has something to offer.
What a wonderful world.
Wait, that's not him, is it?
That is Louis Armstrong. Bing, I'm speechless.
So clearly I don't know who Bing Crosby is. Well, I do. He works on 13 Management.
Yep. He's somewhere. He's
Robert
he's,
to me is Bing Crosby forever now. That's just who he is. So if you hear me referencing Bing Crosby,
that's who we're talking about. I thought Travis's letter was really cute.
It was super cute. And she's wearing a cozy cashmere sweater. Oh, I really wanted to get in that sweater. It looked comfy. And she's making another coffee with Andrea. And she tells Andrea that her hair is looking phenomenal, which it does. Like it looks, it looks like a doll's hair. It's so like voluminous and perfectly blonde. She says, I'm preparing for tears in a way that's making me feel confused. Happy and gratitude, I'm ready for it, but it's not supposed to bring anyone sadness, even though it's never going to happen again. So I guess it is sad. She's like literally thinking out loud. And while she's doing it, she's like biting off the top of a cold brew container. And it's like, Taylor, you're announcing my death. You're announcing like the death of a dear sister and friend of mine. And you're like, I'm maybe a little sad.
She's just in her zone. She gets in that back room and she starts getting into show mode. She doesn't care.
Freaky girl.
No emotion.
Super freaky girl backstage.
Yeah.
So she says she's getting weird, strange jitters. And Andrea says that's because there's an end. Change messes with people. And then Taylor just randomly starts playing the piano while they're talking. Which is a plu-du-du-du-du. And it's an Andrea request, apparently. And it's Never Grow Up and the Best Day mashup. I couldn't watch this back to take notes. This ended me in ways that I wasn't ready to be ended. This is a noted Madeline miss. She is not a fan of either of these songs. So I'm sure you were like, anyway, thank you.
I thought it was beautiful. I mean, it doesn't do anything for me on a personal level, but seeing it like with her family, I can watch her getting something out of it and it makes me emotional. Maybe period. I don't, but she does. And so
that's
her
the
family,
parasocial.
It was
well,
beautiful.
I had a double whammy because this song is very special, The Best Day, to me and my mom. My mom loves this song too. And my mom is, you know, she's the Andrea Swiftologist. She did the meet and greets. Yep. She is the momologist. I was like, I understand what's going on here. So I was bawling my eyes out. And it also just made me really think, like, Andrea has been such an essential force in this career and this moment. Like, it wouldn't have happened if Taylor didn't have the mother that she does specifically. I mean, her dad, as we know, got his prostate sucked out and had 100,000 rubber ducks. But like, Andrea was in the limo. She knew how to do hair.
Yep. And they get to do all the fun stuff, and he gets his prostate sucked out by a robot. Go figure.
Not fair. not fair. And someone also pointed it out on the Patreon. So when she's changing the key on her piano, she doesn't, like a real musician, Ms. De Piano, apparently, would transpose it and like play different chords. But Taylor, like, it's a keyboard. So even the thing she plays on stage is not a piano. So she just changes the key and then plays all the chords in C major. So someone on the Patreon was like, that means she's not a good pianist. And I was like, so?
But we already knew that. I think,
you know, she can't play the banjo too, right? She plays a banjitar, not a real banjo.
Here's the thing. This doesn't bother me because it's like, I don't think she has any interest in being the world's greatest pianist.
It's also, like, she's gotten way better at it. Go watch her play piano for You're Not Sorry on the Fearless Tour and you will see chopsticks.
She's a guitarist first. I think piano,
those keys.
I like that she's learned to play it, but like, she can play it about as well as, you know, somebody who has been taking piano lessons for a few years. You know, it's good. Like, yeah, I can play the song, but like, she's not Amy Lee from Evanescence.
She can accompany herself.
Yeah,
and
it's fine.
That's all she needs to do.
It doesn't bother me. Somebody was saying this because I said I wasn't sure if Sabrina Carpenter could really play the guitar. I know she can.
Sometimes it looked like those strings weren't being struck.
But somebody was like, well, Taylor can't play the piano. And I was like, okay, but she can. Nobody's saying that she's taking, Mozart? You know, the world by storm. Nobody's saying she's, you know, Ludwig van Beethoven. Nobody's saying that. But she can play it.
We should have had a 12-string guitar moment. I'm sorry. We really should have had a 12-string guitar moment on the Eras Tour.
Yeah.
Let's play 15 on the 12-string guitar.
Let's bring that up.
That was unfortunate. So she reveals to Andrea what she's doing. This is the mashup. And Andrea's like, you can't do this to me. And Taylor was like, I can't fucking do it either, dude. That is your mother. That's not a dude. What is this calling everyone dude? Dude. No. No, well, that's, I know where she got that from. I don't like it.
Well, I don't have somebody like that in my life, and I do that too. So I'm kind of like, I think she's always occasionally called people dude. I don't think that's from Travis.
I think the frequency has ticked up.
Okay, it's all Travis's fault. I'll blame anything on the man.
Oh, the Tavises are currently like writing essays in the comment right now. Save it. So Taylor says, I'm just going to record it and talk through it later. And then Scott and Austin walks in and she goes, what the hell? Let me just do it again. I'll do it for you. I'm going to play the part where I sing, I have an excellent father. God shines on my little brother. And they're like, woohoo! I have an excellent father who is under a gag order. He is.
He's not allowed to speak. He's not allowed to be mic'd up.
This is the most we get of him talking throughout this. But he says, those tickets should come with a warning. That was amazing. Holy mackerel. So dad, just like so dad.
Covered. Holy mackerel. Well, yes.
So then we get into a montage of various people involved in the tour getting very emotional and upset about it ending. They describe it. They're all asked to describe it in one word and nobody can pick one word, relatable. They're like magical, remarkable, phenomenal, joyous, a celebration of all that's happy, indescribable. What we've experienced will live forever in my mind, heart, spirit, and body. And I was like, that's so true. Like, I will never forget how I felt physically the first time I heard Cruel Summer Live.
It changed.
I won't forget that feeling.
It changed me.
I closed my eyes. I can go there.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the moment. That Chicago Night One, I feel like I can go there more than a lot of other shows. I can go to that one. Mostly because
also hold on to the memories
occurring.
They will hold on to you. So true. So true. Like,
so true. They will hold on to you. And they have.
I will never forget this time. It was a very, very special moment for literally everyone involved in it. And then we finally get sexiest man alive, Jan Ravnik, on the mic. I was like surprised he had an accent because I've never heard him speak before. So I was like, oh, well. Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
He says what he's going to miss the most is family. Lots of B-roll of the dancers having the time of their lives together. He says, this tour and boss has made us feel so seen and worthy and treated with the utmost respect. period. Then it goes to, it's nice to have a friend. She kills me.
It was beautiful. It was absolutely gorgeous. Needle drop of the century.
It's nice to have a friend. On the nose. I'm like, yeah, what else are you going
to play? It's nice to have a friend. Come on. And you know what? If you want to hear bad Taylor Swift needle drops, everybody knows where you have to go. It's a little something called The Summer I Turned Pretty.
I never watched it and I would never do that to myself.
It shocked me. The needle drops were so particularly bad. I'll never get over it. But these ones, listen. This was spiritual.
These ones are good. The dancers walk into the last dressing room and they all have these little Eras Tour posters made for them with their own pictures in the little Eras boxes, which I thought was really cute.
So cute.
I know. I want one. And then Yen talks about how he was the first person ever to greet the crowd. And I didn't even think about it like that. He was basically the first person on the stage to really see the crowd because the band are in the wings. And he is the opening pedal for the show. And he can't even really describe how major it was. It was so overwhelming. He said he's never felt this energy before. And he says, you know, when you're a dancer, you go on a lot of amazing tours. And after every job, you're like, this was the job. And he was like, but this really was the job. And it's always going to be the job. And I think that is definitely true. Words have never been spoken.
He opened the tour every night. I never thought about that.
First person to almost get blown off the stage every night.
Every night. And I think it was him that couldn't get back in that time in Miami or wherever that was.
That was so scary.
Poor Yan.
That was terrible. So then we're at the last first show of the weekend in the huddle and Taylor launches into her speech. We did the hard shit, the scary shit, the ups and downs. We did all that. I couldn't be happier to get to play this last first show with you. It's the happiest I've ever been on a first night because it's the last one. And everyone else is like crying. They're like so sad that it's over. And Taylor's like, I can't wait to go home to my fiance.
She's definitely ready to go home. It's break time. It was break time in that moment. She's checked out
at this point. Yeah. She is checked out. And I think we also felt that when we watched the live stream of the tour. At the time, we were like, she's tired, as she should be. Like,
yeah, who wouldn't? It was too much. It was a lot.
Ms. DiPiano then instructs everyone to take a deep breath. And you know what kills me is that when they're having these like serious, deep conversations, like everyone around her is in, like her crew's in like all black. The girls are in the man costume. So it's like serious business casual. The men are in the like cruel summer janitor costumes. And Taylor is like in her bodysuit, ass out, boots on. Like she's bejeweled. It just makes the outfit look so cunty to see her next to like the extras, essentially, just based on their costumes around her. I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Versace.
And Ms. DiPiano also says, we've got a big change coming up. And what change means is an era. That's what they are. They're evolutions. They are meant to come to an end. But this will always have been our era's era. And I was just thinking about it. I was like, the era's era might be one of my favorite Taylor Swift eras.
Yeah. Honestly, like it's one of those things where it's like, it's only over now. Like even when the Eras Tour ended, I couldn't like wrap my brain around that. So it's like, I'm only now starting to think of it in hindsight and think of it for what it was for the whole time. And it's like, it was amazing. It was one of the best times ever to be a Taylor Swift fan. It really was.
Because it's also the Tortured Poets in the Midnights era.
Right. Tortured Poets, Midnights.
Midnights had a little bit of an era before it, like with the VMAs and the album coming out, like fine. But like Tortured Poets is part and parcel with the Eras Tour.
Right.
Can't separate.
And that was one of the greatest moments of my life. So I have to smile. Thank you so much.
Then they do that. Let's fuck shit up. Taylor is like obviously not sad about it ending at this point. I love that for her. She says, I got to get married, put out this new album, get this old hag off my shoulders. And then there is a title card that says two shows left. Taylor's reflecting. She says it will live on as the pinnacle, the foremost thing that she's done. She said, I get very depressed about pop culture's obsession with youth culture, and we designate extremely young people to be the ones who are telling us where the culture is going. The idea that an artist had, in my case, the privilege of developing to the point where you're in your 30s and you know yourself more, and then you're able to make the thing that they'll know you for, there's something very special about that. This was a seismic, momentous period of time in my life and in the lives of the performers and the crew members, and anyone who else got touched by it. And it's never gonna happen again this way.
Say it louder, say it prouder. Say it louder,
powerful,
say it prouder. It's never
powerful stuff.
Gonna happen again this way. People need to know that, first of all. If you're thinking the next Taylor tour is gonna be the Eras Tour Part 2, keep dreaming. That's not happening.
I did have the really exciting thought that in 20 years, she could definitely do another Eras Tour. give her 10 more eras and she can do it again.
Now, let's open that case wide open.
Let's talk about that.
We need another one, please.
The story will be mine more. We needed to hear it. But in this moment, you know what I thought? Well, first I thought the note about young people being the ones that move culture, I immediately thought about Avril Lavigne with Let Go and how she really did create like a cultural moment with that one album. But she was so young and so like unaware of what was happening around her, the phenomenon that came with it, that she wasn't really able to like be reflective about it or own it and make it into something else. She kind of got trapped in that moment forever after that. And it is a privilege to be older and to know yourself more and to have more perspective to then have your moment. It's special. It just doesn't happen like that for people mostly.
No, it's absolutely something that was earned through a lot of, and something that I think about a lot is like, would this have happened without the re-releases? Like the re-recordings, it's like, I can't, with the pandemic, it's like, maybe it still would have happened, but would it have happened in the same way? I don't know.
Well, because the album, the Taylor's Version project, again, why Era is our favorite, Taylor's Version. It's all wrapped up into that, even though it was its own thing before.
I mean, open the case wide, it really wasn't mentioned very much in this documentary.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Well, let's keep going.
We're going to complain about that. I'll be complaining. But I also thought in this moment, I think what makes Taylor such an incredible artist and why she's able to keep reinventing, she has a really clear ability to move on to the next thing. That's why eras exist in the first place and why it's easy for her and hard for everyone else. Emotionally, she's really used to shedding a skin and really leaving it behind and moving on to the next thing. She does not linger. She doesn't really look back. She's not, I think before the Eras tour, she was not very nostalgic at all. So this was her time to embrace that, but it was more for other people, not for herself, which is why she had this impulse to keep creating new stuff while she was doing the Eras tour. I don't think she likes to look back. She's talked about it in many times, how it was like the master's stuff was annoying because it was like looking back on your homework that blew away in the wind. Like nobody wants to feel trapped as their older self. And I think she also is really scared of becoming a legacy act.
Yeah. And the re-recordings project definitely could have done that. I think what actually happened with the re-recordings project, which she couldn't have known was going to happen, was that it introduced these eras to like the younger fans. I don't think that was something she was worried that might not happen and it might go the other way where it's like, oh, these are your old albums and this is what's going to define you now. But it's like she kind of like really grabbed that situation by the horns and like made it what it was. She did Eras Tour. She released new albums to let everybody know I'm not going anywhere. You know, she really did it the best possible way that she could have. I mean, can we say Tay Genius enough? Can we say Tay Genius?
This is why
enough?
She's the top dog in the game. She doesn't get stuck. Like she moves. Even if you don't like where she moves to next, like you can't say Showgirl wasn't a complete 180 from Tortured Poets. It was.
It was. She moves. She moves past stuff. She says, let me try something else. Let me try something else over and over and over again. And it's like, Showgirl might not be my favorite record ever, but it's like, I have to respect the fact that it's nothing like Torture Poets. I think we can all agree. So,
is it new or something she's not done before? No, but it's different from what she did right before it. And I will give her that. Mm-hmm. So Jeslyn comes back to talk about how much she missed the show when she wasn't at it, singing along, remembering it, watching it on the live stream. So say we all. I have frequently tuned into the live stream just to see what the hell was going on. It was just so nice to think that somewhere in the world right now, everybody's putting a hand hard up and doing Head First Fearless.
And it's never going to happen again. I really liked tuning into the surprise songs. I loved that.
Like, how nice was it that, like, 1989 Taylor was just existing again for a moment somewhere around the world? Speak Now.
It was really nice.
Enchanted was being kept alive.
And I'm depressed because I don't think...
No, it's over.
Honestly, I really don't think she's ever going to put on those outfits again. Like, she's never going to be 1989 again. And I had accepted that years ago. The Eras Tour is making me relive the trauma.
It didn't occur to me that it was possible because, again, Taylor was not very nostalgic about her old eras. It was very much, people forget this, it was Kill Your Darlings, on to the next thing. I don't want to talk about the old stuff anymore. I want to talk about the new, what's going on right now.
Exactly.
It does. So she says, you know, it's more than a job or a show. It's a place for joy and magic. And it does kill me that everyone, including us, talks about the Eras Tour like it's a UN peacekeeping mission.
It is.
So what if it is?
It was a place for girls. It was a place to escape. It was a place for the people. It was a place where anything was possible. For 3.5 hours, you could be anything you wanted to be. And we were. We were. Thank you so much.
And nothing wrong can happen. Nothing bad can happen at the Eras Tour. The maestro said it herself.
Yep. Exactly.
Unless you have Ramen Noodle Head in front of you, then something bad can happen.
He's really lucky that I'm not more crazy. Because he was really blocking my view at pivotal times. But you know what? I had the most beautiful view of the Evermore set when she was at the front of the stage by the screen. I was like, I can see everything. I saw all
tolerated
HD. I was like, eat.
But he also sat down for like August, I want to say. We had a direct shot to Taylor during August.
They were not into that. Neither were the 1989 ladies. Remember them? The girls who were drinking and
they were gone for like long parts of the show.
They were having fun.
They were having fun. So then Andrea barges into the dressing room and says, Dos más. That killed me for some reason. Such white Americans sometimes. Yeah. It kills me. Like they're just like us. They're normal people. So then my nightmare returns. Me and Gracie are going to do another duet because we just can't stop. And you should. And you should stop. Gracie walks in and they're doing the chorus to I Love You, I'm Sorry. And they both sound a mess. Busted harmony after busted harmony. And it's like when you add in breathlessness to busted harmony, it really starts to fall apart. I do think their dynamic is cute. They're like loudly talking over each other because they're so excited. Like they clearly are really good friends. And Taylor always strikes me as so much younger. Like she and Gracie are like mentally the same in this moment, you know?
I do feel that. And she has the capability to get along with people who are younger than her pretty easily. Like I think she just is like a fun, loving, really laid back kind of, like she never acts like I'm the adult in the room unless she's Miss Boss, in which case she does.
Yes, but
like
unless she has to work.
When she's hanging out, you know, with somebody younger, I think she likes it because it's like, I get to kind of be goofy and we get to like joke around and like hang out. And I think she really likes that kind of energy. And Gracie was really good about that. You know who kind of wasn't? Was Sabrina. I will never forget her sitting on the couch as if this was just
She was very serious. Yeah, she was very serious. She was like, I could see her being gagged. When she was doing espresso, I could see in her eyes she was completely gagged, but she didn't want to show it. And you know what? That's fair. Yeah.
I respect her 100%, but Gracie was like bouncing off the fucking walls.
And then we have her. So Taylor then goes, look how crazy this is. I never planned on you changing your mind. That's just the way love goes. Don't compare yourself to me, Nicole. You are not on my level. Last Kiss and I Love You, I'm Sorry aren't even cousins.
Last Kiss, people, I'm ready to say it. And you know, when I say it, I mean it. Underrated Last Kiss. I just said it.
Underrated.
And it used to be one of the songs, girls.
On Tumblr, that was, yeah. I was going to get a fucking tattoo. The only time I ever considered in my life
what
getting a tattoo
was. What was it going to be?
You want to, can you get?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, you can plan for a change in the weather and time, but I never planned on you changing your mind. That's a long ass tattoo.
You should have gotten it.
No, I shouldn't. Gotten because it. What the fuck does it mean? What did it mean to me then? No boyfriend mentioned. Like, who was I talking about? I love the line. And I love Taylor Swift. And I wanted the world to know it. Instead, I wrote it on the ukulele that I bought to play the Fearless Speak Now tour version.
Exactly. And you know what? That's why they don't let the 14, 15, 16-year-olds get into the tattoo parlor.
No, they shouldn't. I think you should have to be 21, actually, and sober when you get a tattoo. Those are like the,
well,
you need to think
legally,
about it.
Legally, you do have to be sober, but that doesn't
really
mean that's always happening. But I know people who, you can just say I'm sober, you know, and like, I don't even remember getting this tattoo.
Well, like, I went in, I rolled off the Vegas Strip on my 21st birthday, drunk as fuck, into a tattoo parlor. And I said, I want a flaming heart with bad, bad bitch written on it on my ankle. And I was like clearly about to pass out with my friend. And the only thing that stopped us was they said it was $800 each.
Oh, yeah. No, they'll do it.
Otherwise,
they
that would have been on me.
But they'll do
they
it.
Didn't care. They yeah. didn't care. They were
they'll
like,
tattoo you.
We'll do it.
They'll tattoo you.
Thank God that didn't happen. So Gracie then butchers the Last Kiss bridge. No, thank you. Taylor joins in with busted harmony. You know what I've noticed? Taylor's not that good at harmonizing. She's like, it's not her forte. Every harmony she does has been kind of busted.
Yeah, I also kind of think she has like a specific kind of voice. I think she sounds good with certain people. I feel like Gracie also has a really specific kind of voice. I just kind of think
I think
don't.
Taylor Some people don't have an ear for harmony. I don't. Like, some people just can't do it. And Taylor's worst vocal situation ever happened when she was trying to harmonize with Stevie Nicks. That's why it sounded so busted. Because she
thought she found a note, you're not supposed to bring that up.
And she couldn't tell that she couldn't find it. That's the problem with her harmonizing. It's like, you can't tell when you're not doing it right. So why don't we just...
It's not her shining star moment. It's not her shining star moment. But she has so many others that we say she's still the diva.
Exactly. Exactly. Then Taylor says she's in a full body sweat because she's that excited. It's better than any of the ones we've done. So our bodies are chemically reacting this way. We saved the best for last. Okay.
I don't have a comment about that. Everybody knows one of the greatest mashup. I don't know. What was the greatest surprise guest mashup? Mashup, I don't know about, but when Aaron Dessner came out and they did Woulda, Coulda, Should've, I thought I was going to die. I will tell you that for free.
Jack Antonoff did some pretty insane mashups. I think they did like Getaway Car and Death by a Thousand Cuts.
There
like,
were some good
that
ones.
Would have been crazy. I Love You, I'm Sorry and Last Kiss. I'm sorry, Diva. It's not even in the top 50. It's not in the top 100. It's not in the top 130.
This is exactly what we were talking about earlier. She doesn't like nostalgia. Every time she puts out an album, it's the best album I've ever made. Whether it's true or not is irrelevant. It's all about, this is the best thing I've ever made. And then, you know, she
makes
it. Right,
so today's mashup is the best one because it happened today.
Yep.
Thank you.
Exactly.
So Taylor said that something that was really great about these shows was that people wanted to have a good experience, but not only that, they wanted others to have a good experience too. There's something very pure about that. And Andrea said, those fans, seeing them get dressed up the way they do, making the effort to commune and help each other, it's the sense of truly connecting with each other. And that's what compelled people to make a big deal out of the Eras Tour. The show is pretty cool, but you know what else is cool about it? Everybody who comes to it. And I have to say, for a fan base known for being some of the most vile and evil people in the world, at the Eras Tour, mask on.
No, the mask was definitely on at the Eras Tour. People, I feel like, except for the time that you had to call the cops on somebody.
That didn't happen at the Eras Tour. That was a pre-Eras Tour threat.
It was a pre-Eras Tour moment. I feel like, generally speaking, I never really had a negative interaction with anybody at the Eras Tour, except for the guy who came up to you. And I was like, he wanted a picture with you. And I went to like take his phone to be like, I'll take it for you to be nice. He was like, actually, I'll do it. Thanks. And I was like, okay, thank you.
And then he sat by himself opposite us for like the whole show.
Yeah. Well,
that was really weird. But that wasn't bad. People were just nice. Like, everybody was smiling. Everybody was happy. Like, I never felt like I couldn't go up to someone and trade a bracelet with them. Like, it was just so... I've never been to a concert that had that good feeling around. Like, and so safe, too. I was like, if I threw up all over the floor or I banged my head, someone would take me to the hospital. They're nice people here.
People would help you. Yeah, that was definitely...
I didn't feel like that at Doja Cat. I didn't feel like that.
Yeah, there are some shows you go to.
They make
where you
TikToks
say,
about it.
I am in like low key enemy territory. When I was at Hippocampus, and it was men, I was like, I gotta get out of here. Get me out of here! It was
when I went
scary.
To the Chainsmokers. That was another get me out of here moment.
Yeah, no,
I was like, this isn't gonna happen. And Taylor said, hearing the stories about the positivity rush, she loves that. She loves the anecdote of like joy blackout. Had they blacked out during the show, they got a full rush of joy that was chemical. I specifically created this tour on a molecular level to make people feel the sense of escape, but to have it land like that. And it was true. Every detail that went into this was to gag the fans. This is like fan service that I've never seen another artist do, because she did a lot of stuff that I presume she didn't really want to do again. Again, she doesn't love the nostalgia thing, but she knew exactly what buttons to press to make everybody go crazy.
And it worked. And you know, for somebody who DGAF, she GAF. I'll say that.
She GAF. She knew. She knew she had to GAF. For 150 shows, she had to GAF. So then Bing Crosby says, I spent more time looking at the audience than the show. Her outreach, her fan base, the community she's grown. What else could you ask for? And then Taylor said, every person in that audience hopefully is shaped positively by something you see, feel, or hear during the show. Then she gets into the 22 moment, which, yay! She said she wanted to bring back the moment of fan interaction. She was like, when I actually get to get close with them. And it felt weird because she didn't get to do that all of tour. And it's a montage of all the 22 hat moments. And she says, what's so interesting about that is I never know what kid I'm going to meet. I always have people in the audience scouring for the one who knows all the words, is having the time of their life. And they are representative of every kid who gets to be in the crowd that night. And she said, sometimes it can be a kid who's really shy, who kind of gets frozen under the lights, but sometimes they just bloom and are like, I'm a pop star now. When I saw, I love how she included little boys too, rocking out. I was like, that.
It was a moment. It was a moment. I love that 22 hat moment every damn night. And I one of my favorite moments, and we got to be there, is when she tried to kidnap that kid.
Picked her up and
she was like, what am I doing? There were like people reaching for her, like, what are you doing?
She was immediately like,
pulling the kid up. She was like, I don't know what that was just then.
I forgot that. That was so funny.
I loved the 22 hat moment though.
She said, it's always so wild to be in this moment with the person I've never met, this little kid, and everything's going on around us. And somehow we have this moment completely between us. We're just meeting each other and everyone else disappears for a second. It reminds me of why I do it. And this show is so much autopilot. It's so much muscle memory because there's so many things that have to happen that she can't mess up. This is a true moment of like, she's in her body, seeing, physically feeling the impact that she has had on people. Yeah. It's beautiful.
I loved the shy ones. I thought were so cute. Like when it's like, oh my god, I'm gonna go up there and I'm gonna say everything I want to say to Taylor. And then they get up there and they're like, there was a.
And I love when she's trying to hear them because there's no way she can hear them what they're saying, and she has to react appropriately. I thought that was really cute. So then we cut to the Midnight's bodysuit, and she's with Austin holding Olivia, and she says that that night the little girl shook her reality because the girl looked at her and was like, "Is this real?" And Taylor was like, actually, I don't know.
Is it?
Is it?
Is it the Twilight Zone? Are we in the Matrix?
Pinch me.
Has any of this been real?
It was a pinch me moment.
Yeah.
It was, she was like, damn. Like it was, I think it was, the emotions were starting to creep in. She was trying to keep them out because she had to keep going, but it was creeping in. And then Snow on the Beach acoustic fades in. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Cold Vancouver. Yes. Correct. That was the right choice.
Yeah.
So then we're on the last day of the Eras Tour. There's a series of TikToks showing a whole plane of people going to the Eras Tour. They're like, who's going? Hands up. I know that's right. I know that bathroom was crazy. And I know that's right. then I was like, okay, here's where the Swiftie hysterics come in. If you're friends with a Swiftie, call them and check if they're okay. They're mourning. That one was like kind of a joke. And then they switched to this person who like, the Eras Tour was amazing. It was a moment. I loved it. I'm sad that it's over, but it was like, don't let anyone make you feel stupid for grieving today. You're grieving the loss of something that gave you hope and camaraderie. And it feels like none of those things should be. And it's like, you know what, Diva, I get what you're saying. Grieving.
I think we need to pause. Perspective? Have you found it yet?
It's a concert.
And you know what? We're Swifties. We mourn. We say, I can't believe it's over. We do all that. But like, that was a little bit too much. But
that's, That when the Swifties really get in there, Swifties take things really seriously, more so than other fan bases. Things are really serious. It's like life or death to be a Swiftie. And that was funny to me. Given
it's
also
been like
Taylor
that
really
since
is
day one,
DGAF. Too. Taylor doesn't care at this point as well. It's like immediately juxtaposed with her going in the car again. Taylor says last day. She waves to fans outside who I know can't see her because she's in a blacked out car. And Andrea says, I hope the fans know that this is her giving them everything she had and that they respect and honor that she needs just a little bit of time for her.
A little bit? She didn't take nearly enough, if you're asking me.
We said take more. She wasn't joking when she said a little bit. Just a little bit of time. Just a little bit of time. So then Taylor walks in and it's all about the game. She's got her Chiefs sweatshirt on. And she cuts in with her VO saying, after this tour, it would be nice to grow back the things I had to cut out. You don't have any energy for anything that seems optional. I used to have hobbies and a personality outside of this tour. Can't remember what they were. I'll let you know. Bread. Get a different hobby.
She got really into bread. Although I will tell you, I would love to have a slice. I'd like to try it. Are you really that good
at
baking bread?
I'd love to try it. I just don't want to hear about it anymore. You know?
Are they making their own butters? That's what I want to know. That's when you really are entering the no man's land.
When you start churning. When you do ballerina farm behavior, that's when it's really getting crazy. So she's watching the game and I don't care. Scott is like, this is your last day and we're watching football. Did you ever think this would happen? And Taylor was like, I didn't think you and I would talk about sports ever. It hadn't happened by the time I was 32. Scott said, I just waited. And then he like lets time lapse and he goes, this is amazing. And Taylor goes, I know.
It was such like a
such
like
a dad moment,
dad and daughter kind of a moment. I think like every dad, like their dream, even dad more than like too. A than like a son, is to have like a daughter or a gay who is interested in what they're interested in, and like being able to connect on one thing, just one. And if it was sports, that's like a manna from heaven. If it's a sport.
Dadologist's dream would be if I liked rugby and he took me to a rugby game when I was legal, and his dream was for me to buy him a pint of beer at a rugby game in Aviva Stadium in Dublin. And that was his dream come true. And meanwhile, aww, I'm there like, when is it over? When can I go home?
But you if, had your pint.
Well, if I get married to a rugby boy, maybe I'll find a way to be interested.
It could happen. It could happen.
I don't
it
think so.
It could seriously happen.
That couldn't be me. we'll see. So then she's rehearsing A Place in This World. I'm just a girl on a mission, but I'm ready to fly.
Ready
and she
fly.
Sounds amazing. But then she's interrupting herself to say football words. Trust. And then she's doing New Romantic. She's like, trust me, mine is better. Get this first down, please. We team up. Throw it. And she just like does this blood-curdling scream. Yes, a touchdown. Ma'am, you have a show.
She
no
doesn't
screaming
care.
Allowed.
No, she's checked out. She said, this is my Travi at the big game.
She said, they'll get what they get and they won't get upset. So then she's doing her busted Long Live New Year's Day, the manuscript mashup. And Andrea goes, hey, Taylor, you know what you should say? You should say the end of an era instead of
genius.
The end of a decade.
Genius.
The fact that Taylor didn't think of it.
Yeah. No. Tay, mastermind my ass. More like Andrea runs
Come
the
on.
Show, huh?
Literally. It's not Scott that has her in a conservatorship. It's Andrea.
No, it's Andrea.
And her singing the last line of the manuscript, again, to me, that really is the end of this era's era. I reread the manuscript and the story isn't mine anymore. And then Taylor's explaining the mashup to Andrea, and Andrea's like, that sounds complicated. And I was like, if that's the response to a mashup that you've made, you've gone too far.
Say it. And somebody needed to bring that up to her. I found it interesting that she wouldn't just mash it up like, I'm going to play half the song and then play the other half. She would like put different
weave.
And it's like, I feel like that kind of, that wasn't my favorite thing that she would do. I'll put it that way.
The one time that it really gagged was when she did, how did it end? You're losing me. That
it was so powerful.
Was
there were some really
crazy.
Good ones. And I forgot, we made entire episodes about like ranking the mashups and I've completely forgotten. That's crazy.
Some of them were great.
So much
some of them
happened.
Really were great.
Some mm-hmm. of them were amazing.
We'll be decoding this for a while.
Yeah.
So Taylor's dressing room has a sign that says, be aware, cats. Not beware, just be aware.
Be aware.
Be
Don't
aware
let the cat
they're not
out.
Gonna hurt you. Yeah. It should really say beware of Meredith though. Like she needs a warning sign. So she's in the makeup chair. I love to see her in the makeup chair. They're backcombing her hair. Tree Pain is in the back plotting nuclear warfare on her phone. And Taylor says she's been very aware of how much closer the last day is. She says, I think the football game is taking my mind off of any kind of nerds I have. We use the mechanisms that we have at our disposal at the time. She kind of lines her own lips, which I thought was interesting. And I think I've seen a lot of divas, even when they're getting their makeup done, do that themselves because there's a specific shape that everybody likes to have. So she lines her own lips and then they start painting the like lacquered red onto her. And I was like, that's when she becomes Taylor Swift. When they start putting the red lip on, that's when she stops being goofy Gracie Abrams' best friend and starts being the goddamn diva.
The red lipstick comes on, Taylor comes on, and that's all there is to it.
I love these moments. I love these moments. And also, seeing the cat eye that they do for her on stage is crazy. Like the way they conceal and like how far back it goes, because it has to be read from so far away. It's interesting to see. And she says in a VO, I've been holding my breath for a year and 8 months, hoping we'd be safe, uninjured, and that no harm would come to this tour. So for me, it's overwhelming. I'm feeling grateful. And then she says, is it time for me to get into my little outfit?
Yes! Versace.
I need to see those bodysuits in a museum, like the way we got to see the Sparks Fly dress soon. Like,
you know,
those can't be hidden away.
That purple gown from the Speak Now set. And it's like, that's probably one of the last things I really want to see.
Yeah, not even the best one. No.
Not even the best
Speak Now
dress.
That.
I mean, let's open the case.
I need to see the pink. I need to get a magnifying glass to the pink bodysuit.
Yeah. I want to look at it real close. I want the glass
I'm
to
Inspector
come down.
I'm Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah. And I'm looking.
I just want to touch one crystal.
Just I just want to touch it. I just want to touch it.
We'll be respectful, I promise.
Yep.
So then we have Cam talking again about like the inclusivity and how you felt leaving the Eras Tour warmer, more kind, more tolerant. And I'm like, did the Swifties really leave the Eras Tour feeling more kind and tolerant? Well, as someone who has to interact with them on a daily basis, no.
No, I like their perspective. They have a really good perspective because the Swifties are really nice to them.
Exactly. The Swifties are really nice to them.
Yeah, they have a really good perspective on it. Not everybody feels that way.
Not everybody gets that.
The kumbaya ends pretty much immediately after the show is over. I tell you what.
Goodbye. So then she is actually watching football until the 11th hour. She's like in the bodysuit staring at the TV. She fist bumps Andrea and then she forgets and she goes back to do it again. And it seems like a superstition. Like it must be something that she does before every show. And she's looking very nervous going into the final huddle. I think she was really staving off emotions for most of that night. And there's a dramatic title card, 15 minutes until showtime, the final huddle. She walks into her room in her bodysuit and everyone cheers as they should. She begins the speech that she says at the beginning of the documentary. And she starts with, I want to say I'm reminded of one of my favorite quotes. Everyone's jealous of what you got. No one is jealous of what you have to do to get it. I never heard that quote before. Who said that?
Maybe she said it. I made it up
and it's a quote.
It's like it's that office gag where it's like Michael Scott and then underneath it says who it really
So then we've heard this speech before. She's talking about the piece falling into place, et cetera, et cetera. And she sees all the people on the stage as little kids and blah, blah, blah. They do their fuck it up chant. And then the motorcade, she gets into the presidential convoy it's so funny to me that they drive in the stadium, like from wherever the dressing room is to the stage, they are in a car. And she gets into the cleaning car and they're filming her again. She kind of goes into sim mode in the cleaning car. She takes a deep breath. You can hear the crowd roaring in the back. I love the tour intro. I will watch it every single time. It's so exciting. She gets out of her car. She goes up the stairs. We might be ready to leave it after the end of the Snares tour. But for now, I'm still cheering.
I love it. I'm still cheering.
So then she hops on her little horse pulley thing and she travels to the underworld and gets to sit in her little chair. People next to her are crying. They put a really long message for her on the screen this time. And I was like, there's no way she has enough time to read all of that.
No, I was thinking the same thing.
Pretty much as soon as she gets
her
on
eyes
it.
And you can like see her being like, and then looking up and being like, I don't have time.
She definitely didn't read it. She read like half of it and then was like, I have to do It's Been a Long Time Coming.
Yeah.
So then she does her end of an era line in the surprise set. All the dancers, her band, and her family are watching her. Austin is in tears, clapping me. And Taylor says in a VO, I have very clear distinctions about being the leader of this show. That's this mass exodus of emotional catharsis. What's interesting is there's some joy in the show, but also snarling anger, bitterness, despondence, heartbroken, theatrical magic, being able to feel all those things and scream those lyrics. There's something joyful in that. People come to the shows with different lives and we have connectivity. It's about passion. It's about the show being accepting of all kinds of passion we experience through the human experience. There's something so unifying about that. I'm used to doing tours that are successful, but I've never been part of a phenomenon before. And it's so true.
And it's so true. It was so beautiful and so true. So beautiful and so true.
The one moment she looks bereft or just really overwhelmed is when she's doing the karma bow. They like really zoom in on her face. And I was like, that's my baby. I'm really proud of you.
Just like looking around, like, I can't believe this is happening. It's ending. You can like see it behind her eyes. And she's trying
to
like
autopilot.
Yeah.
And now the autopilot turns off because she never has to do it again.
Yeah.
So she breaks. Around. She's like, ah. So she goes through the door and all the dancers come and she's having a hug. She says, it's history, to Paul Sidoti. So true. She hugs Austin and then Scott, first thing he says is, Chiefs won. She chuckles and goes, it's been such a good day.
It's been such a good day. Oh my God, so I could finish amazing.
Well, yes. Well,
no lies told.
They have a glass of champagne and then Taylor's in her convoy and the band are on the golf carts and then happiness starts playing. She's demented.
I never in my life have experienced a needle drop quite like this. I was dancing.
It made
when the
me see happiness
stopped,
in a whole new
and in
light.
The disbelief, I can't face reinvention. I haven't met the new me yet. There'll be happiness after me, but there was happiness because of me. Are you kidding me? I was like,
cinema.
I can't. And like the slow motion of all of the I thought it was perhaps, and there's a lot of really powerful needle drops in this show. This was like, I couldn't have picked a better needle drop in the history of the universe. It completely shifted happiness onto its head. And like me everything, too. Every single line made perfect sense for what was going on. There'll be
and
happiness
the montage,
after me.
Taylor's eras throughout the year is childhood videos in the disbelief I can't face reinvention. Girls, if I didn't know she loved to work, I would be having a mental breakdown about she's retiring over this.
Oh, and listen, they quelled our fears at the end of the documentary. Let me tell you something.
They quelled our fears. They said, this isn't for you. Then there's a title card that lets us know that after 149 shows, the Eras Tour takes its final bow. On May 30th, Taylor purchased all her previous work, thanking her fans for their support to make it possible. On August 26th, Tavis' engagement. On October 3rd, Taylor released her 12th studio album, Life of Showgirl, the biggest album of her career, to date.
Thank you.
There's two things I want to talk about here. First of all, how dare you bring up the Masters only like this and not talk about it anymore? It makes me think there must be a Masters documentary coming next year for Debut 20. Please.
It is really interesting that it was completely glossed over when everybody knows it was a very important central part of the Eras Tour even existing. So it's like, and she even says it at the start of the documentary, this was part of the reason why it exists. To not talk about it pretty much at all after that, I found really, really interesting. And it made me think, why? Maybe there's something else in the works. We don't know. It's 20 years.
Well, she could barely, I also think she could barely get, when in the New Heights stuff, when she was talking about getting them back, she could barely make it through talking about what it meant to her without crying. So I'm kind of like, maybe it's just, and it has, again, been such a torturous period of time. Like, this wasn't celebratory for her. So I'm wondering, like, maybe she just needed, because it's also so unlike her to abandon a project that's not finished. Like, there are a lot of weird things about that that don't feel resolved yet. And I wonder if she just needs more time to process it, or if maybe she just wants to leave it where it is. I can understand if she does, but it is a bit disappointing.
It's a little disappointing, but I do think it's hard to ignore the 20-year anniversary coming up and that somehow meaning something. I don't know what it means yet. I'm not saying anything, but I will say 20-year anniversary of Debut.
Watch this
Give
space.
Give me a little sugar. Give
Watch
me a
this
little
space.
Sugar. Come on.
I'm interested. I'm interested. And I also didn't like that we ended on Showgirl. Biggest album of her career to date, as if it's the most important thing that's ever happened in her career. I can tell you for free that it's not. The only reason why it's the biggest one, any album that was going to come off of the heels of Tavis' engagement and the Eras Tour was going to be a smash. It's not because Showgirl is her best album. I'm sorry. And I hate the gaslighting.
Yeah, I think we have to open the case. If there was a biggest album of her career to date, I think we all know what her name is. It would be Tortured Poets. That was the biggest, literally, by the numbers.
Yeah.
Her biggest album to date. If you think about it, it was the biggest album to date.
I think Showgirl cleared, though.
No, I mean, in terms of the amount of songs.
Oh, I see. In terms of the amount of songs.
The size of it.
Her biggest album to date. Let's open that case.
Showgirl definitely cleared Tortured Poets. People, I think, obviously the Swifties loved it and it sold a lot of copies and it was amazing. Never been done before, blah, blah, blah. But like when you compare it to Showgirl, I think a lot of the locals and the normies really prefer her Showgirl kind of material.
It's easier to understand.
And there you
go. Tortured Poets was for the diehards. Showgirl is for the locals. We cracked it.
We cracked the code.
I loved this episode.
I cheered. We begged for this kind of a documentary for so long. Obviously, there's, you know, this man, we can talk about it, we can critique. But overall, I would say I loved it. And I really am excited to watch it in like 5 years. I know that's weird, but it's like I can't wait to watch it in a way where it's really looking back with hindsight and crying my freaking eyes out about how this happened and I got to be there. I think it's going to be really special.
It was fun to revisit Miss Americana this year and just see how much things have changed. Like, as Taylor Swift historians, which we are, it will be interesting for us to revisit this in the future at some point. But I mean, it was truly such a momentous. And for me, I feel like I watched the first two episodes and had to have an attitude adjustment because I was like, right, so what I wanted this to be, it is not. And that's okay because it was never going to be that. So let's get out of delusional fantasy and like find the parts about it that are good and think about that. So overall, I'm happy.
Overall, I clap and I cheer. Listen, the fact that it's on Disney and it can be removed at any time, don't bring that up to me.
Mm-mm.
I would, if I could physically own this, I would have multiple copies of it. And sometimes the streaming stuff, I'm like, This is ruining my life. I can't believe
there's
I cannot
own this. There's
a lot of
rumors that they're going to bring all of Taylor's stuff onto Disney, like all the tour movies she's apparently in talks to do a very big deal with them about bringing everything there. I don't think they can bring Miss Americana though, because it's a Netflix original. There's no way they're giving that up. But the other tour movies, because Reputation is off Netflix now. Their exclusivity window is gone. So it could be soon that we get Speak Now, Reputation, and it either get your shit together and get us a Red Tour DVD or give up.
I think it's give up. I think the ship is gone in the night.
Not for me. I hold a candle.
I would love to be able to watch that one HD. That is one that my memory of being there is the most foggy, because I had a very bizarre experience with my Red Tour that I cannot get into, but it was, there was a lot going on, and it's like the being there is really fuzzy to me. And it's like, if I could just see it in HD again, but I can't.
Well, I got the busted international version of it. I didn't even get to see the full tour. So I'm like, yay! I didn't get to see Begin Again live. That's homophobic.
It really was. There was a lot of homophobia. The international
on the Red Tour. Let's
the busted international versions of the tours were really homophobic. They were everything.
Speak Now, I forgive, because there's a beautiful, gorgeous DVD that I can watch whenever I like.
Oh God, Red, so good too. Let's Speak Now forgiven. DVD.
That's our best one.
Now that's a show.
Let's just say that it's the best.
Now that's a show. That's a show. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, speaking of shows, evolutionofsnake.com, Sarah's tour. Get your tickets now, or else.